Grace to and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The fifth word from the cross is a word of suffering. Jesus said, "I thirst." This is genuine. This is a human feeling that many of us have experienced in our life. This was to the point of his life being in pain. The parched lips of our humanity dried by the desert of our sin, if you will. Don't imagine that Jesus had some sort of special exemption from suffering because he was the Son of God. Quite the contrary, pain that he feels is all of our pain combined. As we hear from the words of Isaiah, he has bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. He's the sufferer who embodies all suffering, bearing in his own wounded flesh the suffering and sickness of a humanity fallen into decay and death. He knows what each and every one of us face in our life, the pains, the difficulties, the hardships. Jesus faces that on the cross. He thirsts. How bitterly ironic is his thirst. We remember, right? He's at this wedding in Cana, and they ran out of wine. And so what does Jesus do? He turns 180 gallons of water into wine. He promised living water to a Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. Water in which one may drink of it and never be thirsty. Hear these words from John chapter 4. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. He declares at the Feast of the Tabernacles, as they were sprinkling the altar with water, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Water, 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 right? He who is the fountain and source of living water is now thirsty for us. His strength is dried up. He is laid in the dry dust of death on the cross. He thirsts for us, and his thirst becomes our refreshment. Think about that for a moment. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness," Jesus said, "for they shall be satisfied." Through the thirst of Jesus Christ comes our satisfaction, comes our salvation. His thirst is our salvation. His pain quenches our lips when our lips are too parched to praise God, when our throats are too dry to confess our sins. There is living water that flows out of the dryness of his thirst for us. A stream of living water that is released from his side the moment he's pierced. Water that pours out into the wilderness, bringing resurrection and life to Israel's dry and dusty bones. But for Jesus, in his hour of suffering in the darkness, there is only thirst. He healed the sick. He alleviated pain and suffering. He looked with compassion and mercy on the leper, the woman with a hemorrhage, Peter's mother-in-law who had a fever, the demonized, those who were tormented in their own souls. He looked on all of them with compassion, seeing in their suffering the effects of sin and the signs of our own death. The lips that once spoke blessing and peace are now chapped and broken. The tongue that once proclaimed the kingdom of God is now thick with dryness. The throat that shouted the good news that God's reign had come with his coming is now as dry as the devil's wind. All the suffering that he healed, he now bears in his own body. cries out in darkness, in helpless despair, saying, I thirst. Will anyone hear him? Will anyone attend to him? Will anyone give him a drink in his time of agony? His only physicians are the cynical soldiers standing nearby, those who are half drunk on their watch, drinking from their jug of cheap wine that had already gone sour, that was unfit to grace any table. It's not hard for us to be tempted to see that those soldiers, when they raise that sponge to his lips, it kind of looks like a cold and callous thing for them to do, and yet it was all that they had. They could have simply stood there and watched and laughed at him while passing the bottle among themselves. That would have been heartless and cruel. But they shared what they had with Jesus. Perhaps they sensed something of their own solidarity. They were, of course, pretty far down the ranks, as we can remember, as far as Roman soldiers are concerned. Who would have else been on crucifixion duty? Jesus was pretty far down the ranks as well, or at least by appearance. He looked like a failed Messiah. He looked like one who was tortured in his death. Perhaps there was an ounce of compassion in the hearts of those hardened soldiers. Give the poor man a drink before he dies. It's the least we can do. So they hoist up the last of their wine on a sponge and they put it to his dry, dying lips. I tell you, Jesus said in the upper room on the night of his betrayal, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with my Father in my Father's kingdom. The fruit of the vine again touches the lips of Jesus Christ, our Lord. The sour wine, yes, but fruit of the vine nonetheless. The kingdom of God has come. We can see it. We can feel it. The reign of God is established in Jesus' death. It's upon the cross where we gain entrance into heaven, into that eternal kingdom. Why else would we have a lighted cross in our church, showing us the importance of the crucifixion of Jesus? He drinks one last toast in this old creation before dying for our sins. He drinks the bitter cup so that we might drink of his sweet new wine. Remember, Jesus said these words, take, drink, this is my blood of the covenant. He gives his sacred blood for wine, a foretaste of that great feast to come, when wine will be flowing in an unending joy in the marriage supper of the Lamb in his kingdom that has no end. He drinks of the stinging cup for our human woe, of our suffering and misery, so that we might be refreshed and renewed by his cup. Jesus thirsts for us. Remember him. Remember him in his thirst when you are in pain, when the most the world can offer you is a drink of sour wine at best, when your suffering seems unquenchable. Remember Jesus in his thirst, thirsting for your salvation. And know this, you are never alone in your time of suffering. The suffering servant is there with you, even though you may not detect it with human senses. Even though your reason might tell you Jesus is not here, Christ is with you. The suffering servant is with you. He is there, as he has said, and as he has promised. Think of him in your time of spiritual thirst. When your prayers and devotions are dried up, and your mouth is dried up to the point of silencing your hymns of praise, when the last thing that you do in your day is pray the Lord, come to him, to the fount of living water that flowed from his pierced side, to the font of your baptism, to the chalice of his supper, where he refreshes you with his body and his blood. Don't let anything get between you and his cup. he will quench your thirst as no one else can. Remember also those Roman soldiers as they attended to Jesus in his dying request. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. He's the one who thirsts, who cries out for a cup, cool water in the heat of the day. In the poor man who has no food or drink to sustain him, Jesus is there. In the least of us. For you to serve as you have been served by him. As you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. You never know when and where the voice of the suffering servant will call out to you, I thirst. And when you hear it, stand ready. Knowing that Christ has quenched your thirst. He has given you the ability to quench other people's thirst as well. We have salvation and we have it because of our Lord and Savior's crucifixion and his resurrection. We have that salvation, so we will not be thirsty ever. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God surpasses all understanding. Keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Amen.